guess where we are today. Through the magic of radio tape, we bring you this program from a very intimate little nightclubbish kind of room in the Hilton Hotel in Chicago. We're here on the occasion of the annual banquet of the broadcast pioneers. And it's been a wonderful evening so far. The speeches have been an average of 30 seconds each. The filet was delightful. My partner at dinner was the distinguished chairman of the FCC, the Honorable Dean Birch. And on my left was Leonard Patricelli, affectionately known as Pat, who, like myself, has been unable to keep a job. He's been a WTIC in Hartford for 42 years, and I've been with CBS since 1934. And the two of us have been reminiscing about the old times. Tonight they have been giving awards recognizing old-timers in the business, and we're here to entertain them by doing our radio show. We hope that you who are listening in will excuse the lack of the usual informality. It won't be quite as intimate as it usually is, but we'll do our best. First of all, I want these folks here in this room to know everybody who's here with us. The orchestra, I told you there are two of them who have been with me the entire time. One is the bass player, Mr. Gene Traxler. And sitting next to him, a very young-looking fella, who for all these years has been my mentor, who has driven valiantly to teach me to play string instruments, who is the greatest in the business, a thoroughgoing musician, a delightful bon vivant, a man who never in his life says more than three words if he can avoid it. One of the greatest guys I've ever known. His name is Remo Palmier. His second guitar is Billy Muir, who joined us 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. Oh, yes. See the old fella back there with the drums, with the bald head? That's Gene's son, Gene Traxler's son. See, genes just don't follow. When Gene joined me, that boy was just about that high. And he started playing for us, what, 12 years ago, is it now? 11 years ago now. Boy, we're all getting old. Over here is one of the stalwarts of the Reed sections of Local 802 in New York. I suppose he's regarded as one of the greatest, especially ad-lib artists with a clarinet, Mr. Andy Fitzgerald. The saxophone player with the artistic hairdo, Al McCusick. One of the great jazz men. I'm going to skip the next one for a minute and go across him to another funny-looking mustache, which has grown for a purpose. Not too long ago, this great trumpet player had a very bad accident. He fell and cut his upper lip wide open. You know, it's just one of the quirks of fate. A man makes his living with his upper lip. And what happens? He falls on it and cut it wide open. I used to be a cavalry officer, and I used to get carbuncles in the wrong place, too. Anyway, we want you to know Harold Lieberman. And while he was being repaired and grew the mustache, we got a boy who has played trumpet for me on and off all the years that I've been in broadcasting in New York, on the Talent Scout show and on the Wednesday night show, and who has always stood by ready to come with us if we needed him. And that was Bernie. Bernie Levin. Many, many years ago, I had a rehearsal pianist. That's all we used him for at the time. And then discovered one day the most versatile artist in the whole New York local. That was Cy Mann at the piano. Now I want to go back to that other fellow with the mustache. Up until last year, we had one of the greatest trombonists who ever lived with us for many years, Lou McGarrity. We lost him with a heart attack about, well, within the past year. And my leader was very fortunate in coming up almost immediately with this young fella, who is not only an excellent trombonist, but has a great sense of humor with his music, which is what I require in the band. His name is Mickey Gravine. If you will, I'd like to demonstrate, Mickey, what I mean by a sense of humor. Will you play my theme song the way I love you to do it? You know why this program is going off the air. We have to have a leader, and we always pick as the leader the man nobody wants to sit next to. And that's Jerry Alters. Yeah. I was going to save all these special artists till later, but you might as well meet them now. That's Richard Hayes. Richard Hayes. Very fast on his feet. A great singer, too. And I'd like to ask him to come forth and sing for us first. Right, Richard now? Hayes?
What we've been doing was songs, you know, through the years, right?
Yeah.
So this one is 1959. And it's one of the songs I sang back then.
1959. Yes, we've been going backward in these last 27 days, taking each year for each day, and we're back to 59 now.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the song?
Sermonette.
Oh, yes.
Unforgettable one.
Never heard of it.
I didn't remember it myself.
Me a sermonette. Have you heard it yet? With that soulful message that you won't soon forget. It tells about real true love, a people lost sight of through their sinful living and scorning a heaven above. It tells you to love one another, to feel that each man is your brother. Live right, cause you know that you reap what you sow, and this will have no regret. And to find what you're missing, bow your head and listen to this sermonette. You won't soon forget. Stop that sinful living and scorning a heaven above. It tells you to love one another, to feel that each man is your brother. Live right because you know that you reap what you sow, and so to have no regrets. And to find what you're missing, bow your head and listen to this sermon. Bow your head and listen, bow your head and listen, bow your head and listen to this sermon.
Yeah. Gosh, I'd forgotten how good you look on a stage.
And you caught me from my bad side, too.
Yeah. Lots of them. Sitting next to him is one of the great entertainers of our age. Here's a man who's devoted his whole life to the study of... and the... what's the word I'm trying to find? The mastering of the art of playing the old-fashioned ragtime melodies the way they were played originally, the way they should be played. He knows most of them by heart, most of the songs. He's written a few. And he does one of the finest one-man shows it's ever been my privilege to see. If you ever see him advertise that he's going to be anyplace, for heaven's sake, take a tip from me and get some tickets and go. You will have one of the most delightful evenings of your life. I'd like to ask him to step over to the piano and play us a little bit first, and then we'll get him to sing later. This is Mr. Max Morath. Yeah. Watch him some night when he does his show. He does 2 hours and a half of some of the most entertaining stuff you've ever seen or heard. And you can't believe that he's alone on the stage. He's so clever at it that you can see all kinds of other people up there. He even sings a duet with himself. Richard and I do duets sometimes. Somehow we left them all in New York. We came out here without a single one. But we thought perhaps we could get a better blend of voices for you in a group of young men. Please straighten me out, fellas. I never can remember. Is it Michigan State or University of Michigan?
University of Michigan. Represent both, though, Arthur. I want you to know that. We have one Michigan Stater in the group.
Oh, do you? Oh, that's you. Oh, okay. Well, come on out and let the folks see you. These are the Arbors. And to them we are indebted for the use of these speakers. Are they working, folks? Can you hear them all right?
Right.
Oh, great. Okay. We are indebted to you for that, boys, and for those beautiful costumes.
Thank you.
And the hairdos.
After that dinner, Arthur, I'm not sure I can sing in tune or get a breath.
Listen. You're going to do work with the orchestra. But later, you've got to do me an a cappella thing.
We thought we might do that for you right now, if that's okay.
You want to do that first?
Yeah, is that all right?
You can't believe this. This is so beautiful. Listen.
Okay.
Snowball down a mountain or a carnival balloon.
Like a carousel that's turning, running
rings around the moon.
Like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face. The world is like an apple world
of silent space.
Like the circles that you find
in the windmills of your mind. Like a tunnel that you follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone.
Like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream.
Or the ripples from a pebble someone tosses in a stream.
Like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face.
The world is like an apple whirling silently in space.
Like the circles that you find
in the windmills of your mind.
In the windmills of your mind.
Keys that jingle in your pocket.
Words that jangle in your head.
Why did summer go so quickly?
Was it something that you
lovers walk along
ashore and leave their footprints in the sand? Is the sound of distant drumming just the fingers of your hand?
Pictures hanging in a hallway
of a song.
Half-remembered names and faces
they belong.
When you knew that it was over, you were suddenly aware that the autumn leaves were turning to the color of her hair.
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel.
As the images unwind,
like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind.
You feel right at home in this room, don't you?
Oh, we've worked this room many times.
Do you always work from this end of the room?
We usually work right in the center of the room instead of the far end like we are right now.
What's the name of this room besides Grand Central Station?
Grand Ballroom.
The Grand Ballroom, and we're in one end of it, about a mile and a half south of the other end. Beautiful, great, big, tall ceilings. And without their speakers, honest, without their system, you folks couldn't have heard a word. I'm so grateful to you for the use of those things. You'll send the bill to Mr. CBS?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you've met all of us. I want my folks here and the folks who listen to us and have listened through the years to meet the president of this broadcast Pioneers outfit, which is our host tonight. His name is Leonard Patrick, Patty, they call him affectionately, Patricelli. Leonard, would you come on up here and tell us about your outfit, please, sir?
Arthur, I can't tell you what an honor it is to be on your program. And how pleased I am to be on the air. They won't allow me to go on my own station back home. But here I make the network. I'm here, Arthur, today to present you with the Distinguished Service Award, the highest award within our power to grant. Only two other people in our history have received this award. Your old friend Hans V. Kaltenborn and former President Harry Truman. And perhaps that says something about the high regard in which you are held. You are indeed the genial giant of our industry, right, folks? We couldn't find really the words to precisely tell the story of Arthur Godfrey in an award. So what I read to you is merely a reflection, not a precise measure of what you are as a broadcaster and as a man. Arthur, if you will hold that, I would like to read the award. Broadcast Pioneers Distinguished Service Award to Arthur Godfrey, whose contributions to the broadcasting art for more than four decades are unsurpassed. As an entertainer, he is a unique original. As broadcasting's premier salesman, his is a voice of effect and integrity. As a showman, he has discovered and encouraged a wealth of fresh talent. As a citizen concerned for his country, he has fostered the advancement of aviation. As a human being, he continues to be a prime exponent of the preservation of the environment for all mankind. Presented April 11th, 1972.
Thank you, sir. I don't know how to thank you for this, Pat. Coming from this distinguished, venerable outfit, It really is way beyond my fondest dreams. I have never received anything like that before. It's nice of you to recognize my work. I really never tried to be a star or a big name. I always just tried to do the best job I could for my employers and my sponsors, whilst retaining my integrity, sometimes to the point of exasperation to other people, by refusing to take on merchandise I didn't believe in. But it's paid off in the long run. As the good Father Power was saying tonight, what the youth of America is crying for is somebody in whom they can believe, some truth. And this is what I have tried to stand for all through the years. And it's nice of you to have recognized it. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur. I have just one item left. It's a letter I received, and I was asked to turn it over to you. But first, I would like to have the pleasure to read it. Dear Arthur, it pleased me greatly to learn that you will be the recipient of the Distinguished Service Award at the annual banquet of the Broadcast Pioneers. This is a prestigious recognition and one that your 42 years in broadcasting have more than earned for you. I know that I am joined by millions of Americans in applauding the wholesome and enduring contributions you have made through the communications media to the lives of so many families across the nation. Congratulations on this occasion, and best wishes to you as always. Sincerely, Richard Nixon.
Thank you so much, Pat. That is indeed high honor. Now, Richard, I guess you'll sit up and take notice.
That's nice stationery the president has.
Recycled paper, man.
Yeah. You know, we kid a lot, but it's well deserved, that award, to you.
That's nice.
I'm sure we're all very proud to be here with you tonight.
That's true, Arthur.
This is a big night in the whole career. It really is. And I'm a little beside myself with it. I thought I would be very nonchalant, but I'm shaking like a leaf. It's so great to be recognized by those who have worked with you all through the years.
Broadcast was edited to comply with time requirements. Hear the news of the weekend on the weekend with CBS News on the hour over the CBS radio network. WBEN Buffalo.